Ich spreche jetzt mit Jonathan. Jonathan ist Pädagoge und Aktivist und arbeitet an der Schnittstelle zwischen Religion und LGBTIQ. Und wir haben uns über Konversionstherapie unterhalten und über die Bedeutung von Safe Spaces.
Fragen, Fragen, Fragen.
This is Jonathan for Pink Channel in Hamburg, momentarily in Tel Aviv. Jonathan, explain to our listeners what we are doing here in your organization and what organization is it?
Chavruta is an organization, an LGBT religious organization here in Israel. I am a co-chairperson of that organization. We try to create a place where religious people could be LGBT if they wish, but also a place for LGBT people to be religious if they wish. These are two separate things that we do. It is not the same. Creating a space where you have religion that is also for LGBTs is all about religion doing. It's inclusive religion. It's religion that is pro-LGBT, but it is about religion. While creating an LGBT space for religious people, that's LGBT activism. And that's a separate thing. And we really, really try to do both.
What I see, and excuse me, this question is that you have many feelings to it. Is it right?
I love it. I love it. It is also challenging. I myself, I would say that I feel more at home making a Jewish space, a religious space for LGBTs than the opposite. I mean, I also do the opposite. I also do advocacy. Sometimes I feel like I'm a professional gay. But still, I'm more inclined. It's more fun for me to read texts together. That's the main thing I do as a teacher and as a linguist.
I'm interested in what you're saying about safe space. I think you have discussed with us a few of interested aspects. Can you repeat what is the problematic at the safe space?
A safe space can be a little bit... Sometimes societies choose to close themselves up within a ghetto. And a ghetto is a very difficult term because it has two separate meanings. Sometimes people, to protect themselves, they shun everyone away and they close themselves within a sector. But it's also sometimes people are shunned from society. These are the two meanings. I mean, the term ghetto has so many different meanings to it. And I think that's why I wanted to know if this might be too offensive or too, but I think that there's something true to it. When a society creates a safe space, it invites people to treat it as different, as other, and it's othering to itself, basically, the verb othering, right? It turns itself into the other. And that in itself has some dangers in it. I believe that polarization comes when people stop arguing, stop talking to each other. And when you have a safe space, you cannot argue within a safe space about certain things. In a safe space, it is a given that I have a right to exist. And that's important to have a safe space. Each person must have a safe space. But it is also important to argue with those who believe that I do not have a right to exist.
For me, it's interesting that you told us that there is energy necessary for a safe space. So that is not a space where people can be who they are. So because there are in the safe space are special rules.
Yes, 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 yes. A safe space requires inhibitions. You cannot have a safe space if everything is allowed. A safe space requires people to hold themselves back. Now, there are certain identities that in order to prosper, they need everyone to hold themselves back. As a teacher, for example, I know that at a certain age, in a classroom where you have boys and girls, you will have, and I'm now not talking about non-binary people, I'm talking specifically about boys versus girls, you see how the dynamics are that girls, in order to feel free to talk during a discussion, they need the boys to take a step back. They need the teacher to assign who can speak when. whilst at a certain age, you see how boys feel more freely to interrupt, to say what they want, and they don't need the teacher to do that. Now, I'm talking about a very specific age and what they teach us as teachers to do with a classroom of boys and girls, but this rule is, this is a general thing. Sometimes certain identities need, in order to prosper, they need other people to wait, to take a step back and make some room. And that is something that requires effort. It is not a natural thing to do, to acknowledge that there are other people who need me to make room for them. And it's a very good thing to do, but it's not a natural thing to do. It requires effort. It requires energy. It requires attention. And sometimes you see how different kinds of people need mutually exclusive safe spaces. Sometimes the safe space for one is toxic for another. So maybe you need to have several safe spaces for several types of people.
We talk about conversion practices. You have a different position to this issue.
I don't know if different. I would say, as in from an ethical point of view, I believe they are bad. And it's important for me to use that word, bad, wicked, evil. That being said, how do we tackle this? What is the best thing to do in order to minimize the damage? I believe that legalization, sometimes when you turn something into an illegal thing, the market still exists and people still want to purchase that kind of service. But they have a service of a lesser quality, a service that is more dangerous. Let us assume that For the discussion, let us assume that drugs are dangerous. And let us assume that we do not want anyone doing any kinds of drugs, okay? If we say that all drugs are illegal, does it mean that less people consume drugs? Or does it mean that those who consume drugs are in graver danger because they deal in a market that is all outside the norm? There is no normative market for drugs, so people who do use drugs end up with the worst kind of drugs possible. If you legalize some of them, then you enable all sorts of control, separating dangerous substances from less dangerous substances. You create a market that is within the norm, and a market within the norm is less dangerous than a black market. So if there is any possible way to have no market for conversion therapy, I'd live in that world happily. But I'm not sure that that is possible. Maybe we'll always have a black market of conversion therapy. And if that is so, I'd rather have a gray market than a black market.
Conversion practices to LGBTIQ Jews. Is this a real problem here in Israel?
Definitely. It's a problem here. I think it's a problem worldwide. Here in Israel, you have usages of religious practices as conversion practices. You have communities where a student would be required in order to learn in an institution to undergo conversion therapy. That exists. And we oppose that and we try to fight that. But I always feel like I'm not certain if the way to fight it is education, is it academic, or is it legal, is it both? I don't know.
When you have a wish and a wizard can fulfill him, what wish is it?
There's a term in Hebrew religion, beinoni. Beinoni means not excellent and not bad, just simple and okay. And there is a book, a famous book, Sefer HaTanya, that is called Sefer Shel Beinoniim. It means a book supposedly for the mediocre. The writer did not mean really mediocre, but what he meant to say is that the demand for excellence can be a little bit dangerous, and people sometimes need the ability to be like normal. And I wish that religious LGBT identity would be a very mediocre thing, that we would not be demanded to be excellent and we will not be demonized. I don't want the polarity. I don't want to be an angel. I don't want to be a demon. I want to be a human being, a simple, benign, mediocre human being.
This is a view from Germany. Thank you very much for your impressive work and thank you for this interview.
Thank you. It has been a privilege.